And just out of curiosity, what you're doing, and that's going to be a great one. But you know, you read a book and you see the movie, and you go, "Man, this book was 10 times better than the movie."
Right.
Because they just changed it up. So you're saying some of that is they have to.
Well, it's just so expensive to make a movie, and a lot of people have told me I shouldn't start it in the Hill Country. I should just go out in West Texas. But something that happens in that Hill Country, if you haven't read the book, is the reason that something else happens in West Texas. I mean, it's just human nature. If you read it, you would understand that what happened in the Texas Hill Country over near Concan and Garner Park ends up out there at Pumpville in the middle of the night with the postmaster. The gun that wasn't there is one of the neatest pieces of history, probably the neatest pieces of history, an actual true crime account that I've ever written. But without the part in the Hill Country where that armed robbery happens, it makes no sense why the man did what he did in Pumpville. It's two actions, and it's very important. So I have to have it. So in two sentences, we have 5 chapters.
Well, and one thing I like about listening to you and listening to the stories, folks, and I'm sorry, if you've ever had a chance to listen to Russell and let him tell you some of the stories, what makes it neat is spending most of my time in West Texas, growing up in West Texas, being here, you know, like the Sheila Elroy story. Mm-hmm. I started, it was a Roadrunner jewelry store.
Earlier,
yeah, early, yes. And that was a... Because it never happened here.
Right.
I still remember I rode my bicycle all over San Angelo. You know, I don't think we had keys to our houses.
Well, you know, that's
just different world.
Everybody has said, and the newspaper wrote, that this is the crime that robbed San Angelo of its innocence. And I wrote that in that book, No Reason to Kill. Sheila Elrod was a 20-year-old San Angelo girl that went to work that morning and had not a clue that she'd never be leaving there alive. When I interviewed the guy in prison, he did give us an indication of how they got in. I learned with him that if he was looking at my nose, he was telling the truth, and any time else he was looking away, he was telling a lie. He's an antisocial personality, and I describe that at the end of the book. But sadly, that's right, and that's what I said that morning. That's what other policemen said. This type of thing doesn't happen here. But gold had gone up to $800 an ounce. I mean, it was just these guys came in here. For 21 years, we pursued the wrong people. We kept proving that people didn't do it. And then one day, through DNA, it was solved. So, and it's a neat account. I will tell you, if you haven't read it, that the epilogue is written for closure. Closure not only for her family, for policemen, but basically for the community that had so many answers, because so many of us thought we knew who did it. We know who did it, and we were all wrong.
So you never know. Let's do a little bit. I don't really have much time, but I want to just do a little history of San Angelo. And, of course, I want you to kind of help me with this.
Okay.
But I still go back, and Claire still jokes me, because I'll say, well, that was the old Warren Drug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Hoffman, that used to be Angelo Sporting Goods. You know, that used to be Safeway Grocery. And
right.
We had Hempville Wells downtown.
Sure right did, across. And had the escalator.
Had the escalator.
Right,
and that
right
was
up.
The first escalator in San Angelo,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So that was kind of a big deal.
Right.
And Barnes's. So you tell me, well, what is that? Well, that used to be the Central National Bank building.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the first City Net Bank building. And then the Keys building, that used to be Sears?
Yes. And the automotive was back.
Where Surety Title is.
Yeah, where Drew Darby.
Yeah, Surety Title and Drew Darby.
Uh-huh. Back there in the back. And there used to be a bowling alley right across Star Lanes. They were right across the street.
And Harry's Grocery.
Right. Harry's Grocery was right next door.
Wood floors.
Right.
So this is, you're just going down memory lane. There's lots. And the Five and Dime store right there, Woolsworth.
Woolsworth
right there.
Now think about this. Just in the last few years, though, think about how many things are being changed right now. Because of the growth and stuff and how things are going to change. I've thought, as you're thinking about back in the day there, I've thought about it recently that a lot of places some places have been torn down, they're rebuilding, they're doing things. So it won't be long for people a little younger than us are going to say, you know, that used to be such and such.
Uh-huh.
And,
it's going to be
think
on the second,
about
third
like
generation.
Catfish Corner burnt down and they put a new one up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bright and it's shiny and it's clean and everything. And do you remember going in the old one and
yep.
sitting there? Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, and then there used to be one. I mean, how things changed, and I didn't think about it. You're right. God, Russ, that means we're getting old.
Well, and I, I used to go to the one on South Chadburn.
Yep, that's what I was saying. That was the first one.
Yeah. And it was wonderful. And then we move over, we come over to this one. And I mean, it's just the way things are.
Okay, and I got one for you, the log cabin.
Yeah.
Burned down.
Right. You're talking about the one?
Kenny Blanix, or not Kenny, it was his dad.
Okay.
It was Jody Blanix.
There was a different log cabin, too.
Yeah. Okay, see, this is what's kind of cool. Live visited. Tell me about that one.
Well, it was up on North Chadburn, and it was where you partook of spirits.
Okay. And that was before my day.
Yeah. I mean, it was something a policeman would remember.
Yeah. Well, the log cabin I was talking about was off Arden, I guess, if I'm right. And that's where they had the good homemade rolls, I think Dunbar still makes, and the good food, and they were known for the really good steaks.
Right. You know,
there's two log cabins. Now we got to know that now.
The one thing about it, the morning Sheila Elrod died, there's a little bit of, there was bad weather and it was kind of overcast. It was kind of like a mist and it was right at freezing. And Les Modell worked mornings and he was going to go check buildings and I was going to get a ride home. I used to walk to work and run home. And I was on patrol then. But we went over there to Dunbar East and ate breakfast. Oh, man, what a breakfast. I mean, it was wonderful.
Still good food.
Yeah, and then a couple of hours later, he came back and had my wife wake me up and told me what happened.
Oh.
But it wasn't for over 21 years that I knew that he was the one that went and have to deliver the death message. I will tell you, that's something that no one ever wants to have to do. So,
folks, hey. This has been some good, some serious stuff, also some funny stuff, and some good information. And you can go to sallison.com anytime and get it. And we've got some information. If you will, please try to help join Kathy's Army.
Right, join Kathy's Army.
And look for that. That would be much appreciated. And again, most importantly, let's put her in our prayers.
Let's do it.
Nice young lady.
It sure is.
Folks, again, thanks, Russell. Folks, we'll catch you next week, Scott.